Greetings to the brightest audience in the country and welcome to the Dominic and Yurt Show. I hope you are all having a fantastic day. I know I am. But I am going slightly insane because people don't think. That's right. People do not think. And I'm sick of it. It's driving me crazy. People don't think. And I think it was Mike Tiemann. He's famous in our circles here in Denver in the Agape Kingdom Fellowship group. He's famous for saying that most of America has not sat down to think about an issue for 10 minutes. They have not done that, and it is physically painful for Americans to think. It is physically painful. And he's totally right. He's 100% right. He's 100% correct. And you know how you'll be thinking about the Trinity or something? You'll be thinking about the incarnation or some scientific fact. Maybe you'll be thinking about the dual slit experiment. And you're thinking so hard for hours and hours, and it's just, it's enough to make your brain hurt. Well, that is how it is for the majority of America, but not for thinking for hours and hours. That's how it is for them after thinking about an issue for more than 45 seconds. And we can thank our social media platforms for that, right? We can thank TikTok and Instagram and YouTube Shorts and all these. They have their little short 10-second videos and Twitter that keeps, that's the little bit of reading that people will do for their day. And Twitter keeps those tweets super short and has worked really effectively to destroy our attention spans, to destroy our ability to think, because you need an attention span if you want to think. And so it is a problem that people don't think, and we try and combat that here on the Dominic and Yurt Show. Contrary to popular opinion, we try to get people to think. Thinking is good. You wouldn't think that that would be a controversial statement in 2022, but it is. Thinking is good. And, you know, Can you believe this? I wonder what percentage of America, I don't know the exact number, but can you believe that there are adults in America who make it all the way to adulthood? They make it all the way here, all the way to being 21 years old or older. They make it all the way there without ever once thinking about the difference between killing and murder. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being 21 years old and having never thought for 20 minutes on what is the difference between murder and killing? What is the difference? And can you imagine that? Can you imagine being so stupid that you don't know what the difference is between murder and killing? And, you know, I shouldn't just pick on the 21-year-olds. There's plenty of I've met people in their 50s who don't know what the difference is between killing and murder. And that seems like that's something you learn in third grade. But I guess, you know, people, as Mike Tiemann says, people don't like thinking. It hurts them to think. And so they don't like to think about the difference between murder and killing. And, you know, well, maybe, okay, maybe I'm being too hard on some of these people, because even some people who have thought about this issue, they still get it wrong. And at least they get points for thinking about it. But some people are so dumb that they've never even thought about it before. And if that's you, don't worry too much. If you've never thought about what the difference is, hey, that is okay, because you are here now, and we have the brightest audience in the country. And that's because here on the Dominic and Yurt Show, Bob and Yurt Live, Real Science Radio, we explain things to people, simple things. And, you know, I've found that if you want to be smarter than 95% of Americans, it's really pretty easy. It's not that difficult at all. All you have to do is take about 5 minutes a day and just think. That's all you have to, you just think. That's all you have to do. And if you do that, you're better off than all the potheads to start, right? Thinking that's above their pay grade. But if you don't know what the difference is, that's okay. You are in luck, because today you're listening to the Dominic and Yurt Show. You are in the right place. And we're going to talk about the difference today. And we could talk about killing plants and animals and whatnot. But just to simplify beyond that, today we are just talking about killing people. Killing people. What is the difference between killing people and murdering people? That should help simplify things even more. And the difference is pretty easy to understand. It's pretty easy to remember. Killing ends the life of a human. Murder is when one person kills another without proper authority. Pretty straightforward. Killing is the ending of a human life. Murder is the ending of a human life without proper authority. Now, a lot of people will say that killing is the ending of a human life, and murder is the illegal ending of a human life. And I believe that the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of murder, is the unlawful killing, that word unlawful. But that's actually a bad definition. Now, it could be an all right definition if they were referring, when they say an unlawful killing, if they're referring and they're saying that killing that goes against God's law. But Merriam-Webster, they are woke, they're moralists, and I don't think that's what they meant. They tend to hate God, and so I doubt they're referring to God's law. And so they say the unlawful killing. And murder, it's not the illegal killing. It is killing without proper authority. And how do we know this? Well, we can think back to, say, Nazi Germany and all those Jews who were killed. According to German law, that was legal. Yet, we still call the murder of millions of Jews just that. We call it murder. Rightfully so, too. And the Germans, they did not have the authority to kill Jews, and so we bestow the term murderers onto them, onto the Nazis. And that is correct. That is just, we should call them murderers. And this is an important distinction I want to talk about. Now, there are some times when people, they do have the authority to kill each other. That is true. They do have the authority. If someone is coming to kill you or hurt you and your family, you do have the right to defend yourself, even to the point of killing them, not to the point of murdering them, because by that point, it is not murdering, it is killing them. The authority has been given to you, and it's been given to you by God himself. He has delegated that authority to you. God has delegated that authority, and he's also delegated that authority to governments to protect their borders, even to the point of killing people. The government has been given the authority to execute criminals, for example, who have committed capital crimes. And now, this clause does not help the Nazis' case. No, 6 million Jews did not each individually commit capital crimes, and so the Nazis, they don't get a pass on this clause. I know this seems like an obvious caveat, but we're trying to be, you know, go to a super basic level. Remember, we're dealing with people who do not like to think, so we got to keep this basic. And now, I'm going to say something that might surprise some of you guys who have been longtime listeners. It might surprise you a tad, but before I do that, I'm going to try and lay out some groundwork for this. Some morality is eternal, and other morality is instilled. And what do I mean by this? Well, some things they are wrong to do because innately they are evil. They are wrong, and they always have been wrong for all of eternity. They are eternally immoral. Other things are wrong to do because someone with a higher level of authority said, you are not supposed to do this. And now this isn't moral relativism. Let me explain. A child is allowed to touch a fireplace without it being immoral. It might be foolish, but it's not sinful. Now, if a parent says, oh, hey, Johnny, you are not allowed to touch that fireplace, and then he goes and touches it, at that point, he is sinning. It is immoral. And now, it's not the touching of the fireplace in and of itself that is inherently immoral. that has not been a moral rule for all of eternity past. Rather, what's immoral is the disobeying the parent. The child disobeying the parent is what is wrong. That is what is immoral. And the parent saying, you cannot touch that, that instills a moral right or wrong into the action of touching the fireplace. You know, the parent could even later on say, hey, Johnny, if you want, you're old enough now, you can touch the fireplace. I trust you with this. I trust your judgment, and I will delegate this authority to you. And this doesn't mean that morality is subjective or changing, because the being disobedient to your parent, that is what is evil, and that never changes. And that is the foundation in this example. And compare that, touching the fireplace, that is instilled morality. Compare that to something like, you're not allowed to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That is an eternal moral rule. It has always been wrong for all eternity to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and it will be wrong for all eternity to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And you cannot get the authority from your mom, say, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. There is no authority to do that that can be delegated. That authority is undelegatable. It doesn't exist. And so that brings us to murder. And this is what I said that might surprise you. But now with that groundwork, it might not be as shocking. Why is killing without authority wrong? No, that's a genuine question. Why is killing someone without proper moral authority wrong? And well, if you are an expert on morality, you already know the answer. By the way, that was one of my favorite points that my father and predecessor, Bob Enyart, he often made. He said that you have an obligation to be an expert on morality. You have an obligation to be an expert on morality. And that's true. You do. You have an obligation. But if you are a moral expert, you already know the answer. If not, the answer is pretty simple. The reason it is wrong to kill someone without proper authority is because God says that you should not do that. That's the reason. That's why. Because God says not to kill some people without proper authority. And so now here's a question. I was just talking about eternal and instilled morality. Between those two, which is murder? Which is murder? Is murder, is that an eternal command, or is that an instilled command that you shall not murder? Well, it's an instilled moral command. Murder is wrong because God says that it's wrong. That is the reason why murder is wrong. That is why, because God says it is wrong, he has instilled that morality in us. And now it's inherent, right? We all know that murder is wrong. We all know that God said that. Even if we don't, if we haven't read the Ten Commandments, even if we don't know them by heart, we still have that knowledge, that rule of law. It's written on our hearts. So we know that, and it's inherent, but it's an instilled moral command. And murder is wrong because God says it's wrong. That's why. And now I'm bringing this up because, as I so often do, I was talking recently with a pro-abort about abortion. And if that's not something you frequently do, then shame on you for being apathetic, as Edmund Burke said. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. But I was on Twitter recently, and I saw, I never know how to say this guy's name, so I always call him Sink Yogurt. I think that's probably what his name is, Sink Yogurt. You might have heard of him. He's pretty famous. He has half a million followers. He's with the Young Turks, Sink Yogurt. And he was saying that Republicans, we lie and we say that the left, they want abortion and they want late-term abortion and that they want post-birth abortions, which there's a word for that, infanticide. And I was, I responded to that. And I said, of course, Democrats want abortion. Dems, they want it through all stages, even up to and after birth. Also, pretending not to be as evil is, but just slightly less evil. That's a bad strategy for Sink Yogurt, and that he should repent and rebuke abortion outright. And of course, the Democrats, they do want abortion. They want abortion in every different shape, in every different size, every different way that an abortion comes. They want it. Nothing is too gruesome or cartoonishly evil for them. And that's why we see even things like partial birth abortion. You know, Warren Hearn in Boulder, he performs late term abortions. And then you have people like Richard Dawkins. He advocates for even post-birth abortion, that is, we have a word for that, infanticide. And the left, it's disgusting to see just how much they want this. And it's not just that they want this for their own sake, it's that they're proud of this. And this is something that they want to put on full display. You remember they had their hashtag shout your abortion, and that was But can you imagine fighting for the right to murder your own child? Can you imagine if it was just the right to some other healthcare practice that actually genuinely was a healthcare practice, right? Imagine if your rights to dentistry are on the line, and then you are you're fighting for your right to go to the dentist and, you know, have a tooth pulled or something, and have a cavity cleaned, and then you're proud of it, and you're like, hashtag, you know, shout your cavity filling or whatever. And it's clear that this isn't just something that they want for health, but this is something that they want to rub into the face of God, and they want to use abortion as just a giant middle finger to God. That's what its primary function is. You might think that its primary function is selfishness and convenience, and that is one of the main functions. But they would want abortions even if they weren't, even if they didn't find them super appealing, for the sole reason that abortion serves as a giant middle finger to God, and that is what is most valuable to them. And if abortion is taken away, they'll try to find some other way to give God the middle finger. They just hate God, and abortion is a really useful tool for them to express their hatred of God. And so that is why they want abortion in all its forms. That is why they want infanticide, for example. But regardless, that is off topic. And one of the main responses I got was people trying to take my accusation saying that murder is wrong, and I was that abortion is murder, and they were trying to flip the script on me and put me on the defensive. And by the way, if you're ever talking to an Enyart, just anyone in my family, that's a bad strategy. We're good at debating. If you're trying to defend abortion against an Enyart, I highly recommend you just admit that you're wrong. But they were trying to flip the script on me. They were trying to be good debaters. And so, you know, I suppose props to them for at least trying to think. But I think they failed. But one of the people who responded to me, he tried to flip the script and say, well, hey, in the Bible, God murders people all the time. What about that? In the flood, he murdered the entire world. There must have been some pregnant women he murdered, some children in their wombs that he murdered. What do you think about that? And, well, that's dumb for very many reasons. But we could start with this. Murder, right? We just went over this. Murder is the killing of an individual without proper authority. Now, who is it who has all the authority? Who is it that came up with that rule in the first place? Who was it that said, thou shall not murder? Who was that? Well, pretty obviously, it was God himself. And God, he was the one who said that. It's his rule. If murder is killing without proper authority, and God has all authority over killing, he by definition cannot be guilty of murder. God cannot be a murderer. God cannot be guilty of murder by definition. And I've got a pretty good analogy for what's going on here. this dude and I were basically like children talking about touching the fireplace. And I just told him, hey, dude, stop touching the fireplace. You shouldn't do that. Dad said you're not allowed to do that. And he responds, well, dad, he touches the fireplace all the time. He turns it on and off all the time. So this is fine. It's fine for me to do. And that's what I'm talking about. People do not think. They don't think. And it's driving me nuts. And they need to start thinking. Start thinking, people. But so this dude, he was a clown. And now, to a lot of people, even though this all makes perfect logical sense, and a lot of people, they have the sense that what I'm saying is correct, logically speaking, they might admit that maybe to themselves or even out loud. But a lot of people, they have this feeling in their gut that killing is wrong. Any killing, regardless of the circumstances. And they have a really strong sense about this. They think killing is wrong. And even though what I'm saying makes logical sense to them, they have this, you know, this bad feeling in their stomach, like a knot in their stomach, and it prevents them from getting to the logic that's in their brain. And if you are one of these people, let me try to help you out. Let me remove that bad feeling from your gut. And so you might be able to better process the logic and not get so bogged down by your emotions. And I'm going to ask that you get your intellectual paintbrush out, because I'd like to help you paint a mental picture. That's right. On the Dominic Edyard Show, we are going to art class today, the mental art class. So get out your mental paintbrushes. God is the creator of heaven, earth, and other fine products. So I'm going to want you to take out your paintbrush there and draw a little yellow box, just a yellow box. And inside this box is life as we know it. The entire history of humanity is inside this little yellow box, all the way from Adam and Eve eating the fruit in the garden to this morning when you ate your vegan gluten-free Pop-Tarts that taste like, look like, and smell like cardboard. Well, we could label this box. We can label it. You can get your little labeler out and name it Box A. Pretty simple so far. And then take your paintbrush and right below that, draw a green box. And this is what heaven may be like. Streets of gold, floating on clouds, playing harps and all that. We can call this one Box B. So we got Box A and Box B. And then we can draw another box next to that box. We can use red this time. And inside of this box, we might think of it as hell. We could draw a bunch of little angry dudes with horns and pitchforks. And we can call this box, will be Box C. And if you haven't noticed, this is supposed to be cartoonishly simple. Very simple, easy to understand illustration. And so we've got three boxes here. These three boxes, A, B, and C. And God, right, he is the creator of all three of these boxes. And he is the creator of the inhabitants of these boxes. And as the creator, he can, whenever he chooses, he can pick up one of the inhabitants of one of these boxes and move them to a different box. He is allowed to do that. He is the creator, and all of these boxes and all of their inhabitants, he has dominion over all of them. And God, he is allowed to move someone from box A to B, from B to C, and from C to back to A. Any which way, he is allowed to move anyone, anywhere, anytime, any place, however he wants. And it just so happens that we have a word for moving someone from box A to box B. It's pretty cool language. Language works like that, right? We get words for things like that. And the word that we have is killing. That's the word. God is allowed to kill someone, bring them from box A to box B. He's allowed to do that. And as inhabitants of these boxes, there's a few rules that we have to follow, rules that the creator set. And one of those rules is that you cannot choose willy-nilly who gets to move from box to box. And we actually have a word for that rule. The word is murder. You're not allowed to murder. But that rule only applies to the inhabitants of the boxes and not to the creator of the boxes. And what's wild about this, what's really wild, is that we get all these atheists out here trying to make fun of Christians, to make fun of God, and they're saying, you know, oh, look at how evil God is. He moves people from box A to box B and C, and look at how evil he is. Look at how terrible that is. He should not be moving people from box A to boxes B and C. That's terrible. And you know what's funny about that? You know what's really funny? They never complain. Never, never complain when God moves someone back from boxes C or B to back to box A. Never. They never complain about that ever, ever, ever. Even though someone in box B, though it's probably a lot less pleasant to move someone from box B back to box A. When God does that, atheists never complain about that. And what do I mean by this? Jesus Christ, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus Christ, in John chapter 11, brought Lazarus back from box B back to box A. And you never hear an atheist complain about that. Never, not once. And why is that? Answer me this, atheists. Why is it that you allow God to move people from boxes C and B back to box A without complaint? Without complaint, mind you. You're completely fine with that. But claim that he does not have the authority to move them from box A to box C. Why is that? Can you explain? Of course, I've never gotten an explanation for this because, well, most atheists haven't thought that far. But if they have thought that far, which is a rarity, if they have thought that far, well, there is no explanation. Well, there actually is an explanation, but it doesn't make them seem too smart. And it removes that intellectual persona that they so deeply care about and that they so deeply try to maintain. But the actual explanation is that they hate God and they will make any criticism of him, regardless of how stupid it is, regardless of how poorly thought out the issue is. But if it seeks to undermine God in any way, shape, or form, they will hold to it wholeheartedly. They will unashamedly mock him, regardless of how embarrassing it is for them. The most popular atheist is one who can say the most absurd lie with the straightest face. They will say with a straight face, I hate God, and oh yeah, he doesn't even exist. I hate God, and he doesn't exist. How stupid are they? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, luckily for all of us, going back to these boxes, we're all in box A right now. We gotta go to box B or C after we're done here in box A. Box B, by the way, is going to be way better than box C. And luckily, if you want to go to box B and not be near any of those idiots who don't think back in box C, hey, that's within your control. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's talking about box B, y'all. He's talking about heaven, box B, and you are welcome there. You'll be welcome with open arms. If you want to get there, check out Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.